Thanks again for joining me here at PreachingTheGospelThatSaves.com. And again, thanks again for subscribing to the bookstore blog. Hope you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. This is one of the ways I studied 120 different translations. It took me over 2 years. And this is how I became fully persuaded in my own mind that the 1769 King James Bible is God's perfect words without error. Hopefully you'll be fully persuaded, Romans 14:5, in your own mind. And as we continue to go through our July blog, this is part 4, So Many Versions is the title of the new book, not found in your so-called Christian bookstore. Ask your pastor why it's not there. Ask your pope. Ask him. Or maybe it's a her. I don't know. We will be going through this book, which brings to light so many versions of the Bible. How do these versions stack up to God's perfect words, the 1769 King James Bible, which they never mention in this book, the Blaney text? It's always the 1611 translation. Here's what the authors Saki Kubo and Walter Speck say in chapter 1, titled Early Modern Speech Versions, page 26. In the 16th century, William Tyndale risked his life to translate the scriptures and died as a martyr in 1538. What was it that inspired him to undertake such a dangerous and daring work? Tyndale said, "Which thing only moved me to translate the New Testament because I had perceived by experience how that it is impossible to establish the lay people in any truth, except the scripture were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue that they might see the processing of the text." Later on page 26, they fall for the devil's lie. Unfortunately, the very version prefaced by these noble words, King James Version 1611, is no longer speaking their language of the common man. To the average man of today, the language of the King James Version seems strange and foreign. There is therefore danger that the Bible may seem to modern man to be something out of date and irrelevant. This has been recognized now for nearly a century. Hence, toward the end of the 19th century, in the beginning of the 20th century, a movement arose calling for translations of the Bible in modern English. Take note that this book puts scholarship first. They don't believe the words on the page. They refer to the originals, and there are no originals on the face of the planet, and they attack the so-called archaic words, the King James Bible. So as we continue to look at the Phillips translation, and they said, one would appreciate Phillips more if comparison were made throughout with the King James Version. Well, we're comparing, and I appreciate it that much less. Now let's take a look at Romans 8:18 and 19. So Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19 from the Phillips translation. Okay, you ready? In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned, has in store for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. Now let's see what God's perfect words say, the 1769 King James Bible. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you will notice this, okay, I want to point this out. They never use the word creature in the new translations. They use creation. And those are two different meanings. The church, the body of Christ, is a new creature. The word creation can be used throughout the whole Bible. God created man. God created the earth. So you lose the meaning of the verse. I just wanted to point that out. God's words have meaning. What else is missing in the Phillips translation? Reckon. Reckon. Also the word suffering. Suffering. Okay? They don't mention anything about suffering in the Phillips translation. Did you know there's a new translation called the Bloodless Bible? It's called the Good News Bible. and they removed the word blood from it because they don't want, and this is what Rick Warren said when he preaches and teaches, okay, if I don't even know if he knows what that is, but he said that he will never preach any negative verses. So, in other words, he will never teach the Bible correctly. More next week.